Happy New Year, everyone. This is the 12th day in the year of 2012. The month is January. I'm sure you all know that, but it's still a new year. So how are you doing today? I'm here to welcome you to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app. It's free. The name of it is called TuneIn on any electronic device. And when you download it and you want this radio station program, search WWGH. You can also call into the station while we are on the air from 4:15 p.m. until top of the hour. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, the telephone number here is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. 740-223-1515 is the number. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement, free produce will begin again the third Saturday in April, which will be April the 17th, 2021. Right now, it is closed down. Okay, there will be no free produce until April. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you, which is located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. And thank you for those of you who listen faithfully. And if it's your first time, I hope you enjoy this show. I'd like to start out with a thought for today, and it's titled Spiritual Change Skill. And it begins like this. There is nothing more certain than that the world will continue to change. Accepting and not resisting this is the first and most important inner skill in this frenetically changing. I don't think I ever heard that word before. FrenetiCally.
Sounds like frenetic.
Yeah, frenetically changing world. Life tests us every day to see how well we have developed this ability. Equally, there is nothing more real than the inner space within each of us that never ever changes. We may change our thoughts, our feelings, even our sense of who we are, but we fail to visit the unchanging center of our own self. Now that's a thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ability to be in this inner space where our peace is found, when all around would prefer chaos and crisis, is the deepest spiritual change skill. It is the eye of the storm. It is the oasis in the desert. It is the place where peace is power. It says, call in today. You'll be surprised how much it can influence and change everything and everyone around you. I don't have their number, but you can try us here at 740-383-9944. We'll do our best to bring you some peace. Well, I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today, Jeff Porter. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days, and he's been with us for quite a while now. He's our doomsday prophet. He always talks about the things to look forward to as of the signs of Christ returning.
That's right.
Right, Jeff?
Right.
How are you doing today?
I'm just jumping up and down, Linda.
I can see.
I'm fine as long as I stay inside.
Cold, isn't it?
Oh, it's nasty out there.
Bitter, brr, cold. Alrighty then. So I know when I talked to you earlier, you said, oh, I have a lot to talk about. Now I'm going to set up the situation a little bit here.
Okay.
Like I told you, I have been listening to David Reagan. I don't know if you've heard of him before. He does Christ and Prophecy. He It comes on.
No, I have never heard of him.
No, you haven't heard of him? Okay, and he was saying, he thinks that America is on its last leg.
Well, I'll agree with him there.
Yeah, he said he doesn't believe there will be a
big
revival. A revival. I said the Bible doesn't talk about a revival in his last days, and he doesn't believe that we're going to have one. Okay, he says he believes that our wound here in the world has become incurable, just like, you know, in Jeremiah's day. And he told Jeremiah, even if Moses or Samuel was here to pray for these people would not turn away.
No.
They would stay where they are, you know. And it also says, here we are. People want to defund the police. You know, that was something that was brought up earlier.
Yeah.
Empty out the jail cells and do counseling for people. And maybe some do need counsel. I can't say all, because it depends on what they're in there for, I think. Reparations to blacks. Yeah, well, if you hadn't done it for some, I guess other people wouldn't be expecting reparations. This is some of the things that he brought up. Okay.
Reparations
to blacks. Reparations to homosexuals for not allowing them to marry in the past.
Yeah. Oh, I
so
see.
So we're supposed to pay them for that?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Legalize pedophilia and prostitution. Legalizing hard drugs, which two states, Oregon and there's two of them up there in the same corner, right? Oregon and what's the other one up there? Washington? No, there's two states up there that I have.
Kansas?
No, it's in the corner of the United States, west corner, up there by Oregon.
Well, that's Washington.
Washington. Okay, those two states supposedly have legalized all illegal drugs. No matter how hard they are, okay?
It'll spread. That will spread all over the U.S.
Right. Legalizing, sure. What is it? How did he say that name? Something about Euthanasia. What is that? Euthanasia? What is that?
Euthanasia.
Euthanasia.
Oh,
what is that?
That's the killing of
older people. Okay. They want that legalized, and infants that are born sick, I guess.
Yeah.
Promoting drug queens. Reading stories to our children in the public libraries. Teaching kids from kindergarten that sexual perversion are normal. Legalizing punishment for hate speech, criticism of abortion, or sexual perversion.
Mm-hmm.
Even declaring Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. People are against that. They want that stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. Confining all religious talk to churches only. Confiscation of firearms. Kind of late for that one. Removing chaplains from military. Packing the Supreme Court to liberals. I thought they already packed the court with
Democrats.
The one that Trump just put in there? He just put two or three in there, didn't he?
Yeah, I know there was not.
They were voted out? Even the lady that just made it? She didn't get voted out.
I don't know, but the what was her name?
I don't know, but she made it. She was accepted. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think she resigned.
Already?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Abandonment of nationalism. Okay. In for one world order. Fossil fuel. Israel abandonment. Replacing Star Spangled Banner as national anthem. John Lennon's song, Imagine. Present today's greatest evil. And he said the church has gathered into bed with the world. What do you think about some of those things I talked about, Jeff?
What we've been expecting is fascism.
Fascism, that's what you call that? Okay,
yep.
Fascism.
That's what I would call it.
Wow, wow.
Total dictatorship.
Woo! All right. Well, that may be what a lot of people want, but some of those things may stand up right now. Some of those things, I think, is a little far-fetched.
Way down the road.
Yeah, way down the road.
Or not at all.
Or not at all. Absolutely.
But I do believe that this is exactly why, and I couldn't get this across to people, that this is what the liberals want. They don't want to fix America. They want to destroy our government and start over with their own fascist ideas. And, you know, you and I may find ourselves in a detention camp because of this radio station or something like that, you know. The same thing that Russia does, the same thing that North Korea does, you know, China. In fact, I remember I used to talk to a friend of mine, and I said, I think we're headed towards communism. He said, you know, if we continue down the road we're going, he said, we're going to end up with something worse than communism. And I think this liberal agenda is. It's worse than communism, if you ask me.
I'm not sure what the liberal agenda is.
I just read there. That's exactly what they believe and what they want to do.
Just like he said, he thought either way it goes, we were in trouble. Whether Trump was elected president or whether Biden was elected president.
Well, I think we were headed towards civil war either way.
Right, that's what he was saying.
Yeah. Because the liberals were not going to be happy with Trump getting reelected and the Trump people not happy with Biden being elected, you know, because we're so sharply divided.
Yes,
that we'd end up at war anyways. And this is why, you know, you sit there and the preachers have been, and Christians and all these people have been on radio and television and all over the world preaching that the United States is in trouble because too much sin. And they just absolutely just closed their ears to it. Absolutely would not listen to anything that had to say about abortion and homosexuality and drugs, domestic violence, and on and on and on it goes, you know.
Right.
They wouldn't listen to nothing. And you and I know that somewhere down the line it dawned on us that Christ really is the answer. But you really have to come to a strong realization in order to get saved, living in America, and to maintain your Christian walk, because I think this is one of the hardest countries to continue to be a Christian, because if you stop being a Christian in America, they find out that you're a Christian, they don't have any idea what it means to be a Christian anyways.
No.
Most of them.
And that's true. Like he was saying, you know, they start serving idols and men as idols. You know, they've turned away from God. They've lost themselves. They're not in their Bibles anymore. They're not even reading the scripture anymore. And I thought about Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1. Okay, 1-4 or 5. That perilous times will come. Okay,
yes.
Who is God talking to? He's talking to the church, right?
Right, he was trying to warn us.
Yeah, and all those things that are listed under that is in the church now. We're not, you know, and I thought about that. I said, wow, this isn't to the world. This is to the church where we have fallen off our pew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've fallen off our pew. We're not reading the scriptures. We're not even believing the word of God anymore. Like it says, the greater anarchy and apostasy. Okay, that's where we are. You believe that?
Yes, absolutely, because it's been predicted anyways.
Right.
You know, that it was going to happen that way. I remember when I first came across Christianity in crisis, we had this problem with the prosperity doctrine. When I was very first started it, I didn't think it had anything to do with the apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, the Lord kept showing me stuff, and I finally began to realize this is the great apostasy that he talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yeah.
You know, it was really kind of a shocking realization, you know.
Right.
And I started reading about it. I started buying VCR tapes back then and watching them and realizing that the church is just gone. Christianity is dying, you know. And they didn't have the fivefold ministry anymore, the apostles and prophets and teachers and all that. They kicked them out. They kick out the prophets now.
Well, like Jesus said, or Paul said, you know, they killed them all. Mm-hmm. Because they're giving them words they don't want to hear. You know, they want the words that tickle their ears and make them feel good. You know, prosperity and I'm okay. Your sin is all right. You may be homosexual, or you may have had aborted all of your children, you know, but no one wants to hear about sin. They don't. Well, I made a mistake. Yeah, we all make mistakes. But what do we call them?
And it's sin. And then, you know, they don't. That's what I've just heard preachers talking about, that they don't call it sin anymore.
No, they don't.
They call it mistakes.
Right, mistakes.
You know, errors.
Yeah, I made a misstep. Yeah.
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 A bump in the road.
Right. Not backsliding, you know.
Now, I don't want to give people the impression that there's no forgiveness for, like, abortion.
Right. There's forgiveness.
There is forgiveness there if you come to God and if you ask for forgiveness and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive, you know, forgive all of those sins and turn away from those sins and not do it again. That's what Jesus was saying to the woman called, caught in adultery.
Right, right.
And the big crowd was following her, and He stopped them from killing her by saying, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But He didn't mean that we're supposed to play with sin.
Oh, no.
We're not, you know, we're supposed to take the Word of God seriously. And that's where the problem is, too, is a lot of times you'll see what Satan's always trying to do is get us to compromise, you know, the gospel. You see a bunch of people sitting around in a Christian talk show or something. All of a sudden you hear stuff that you go, what? You know, what do you mean there's no such thing as sin? Or what do you mean that, you know, God forgives, or He thinks abortion's okay, or homosexuality's okay? It's amazing how homosexuality has just risen up in America, and you never would have thought that this day would come when people would be sitting around in disguise. This, well, I got kicked off of that program because I was gay. And then I'll go, oh, that's so terrible. You know, my parents wouldn't let me bring my boyfriend in. You know, and I go, that's so bad.
Yeah, and when you look at the world today and the upheaval that's going on, I mean, I don't think it's just one sect, liberals, no. Or one sect. What they call the other one? Well, left or right.
Yeah.
I think there's a mixture of people in there, because it's not just one sect of people that are Christians.
There's a lot of different organizations.
Different organizations, and it's not just one sect of people that consider themselves for liberalism or for far right, far left. They're all together. You know what I'm saying? Even there is a separating line.
Well, God's judgment will separate it out, you know, separate the wheat from the tares, you know.
And they were saying that, you know, He was saying that these are judgments He believes that is on the earth today.
Yeah.
Homosexuality can be a judgment for today. The civil unrest, a judgment for today, like plagues,
is,
you know?
It's like God is throwing out just enough slack for them to destroy themselves.
Like the virus.
Yeah.
They're talking about to 2022, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're saying this is a judgment that God is sending upon the people. So why aren't we getting it, no matter where we stand in our opinions, our political powers, or why are we missing it? Why have the church left God?
What I say is, for one thing, the education system. And this goes back to at least as far back as your college, you know. And they teach people that sin is okay. You know, for a while, colleges were, American colleges were very godly. And slowly but surely, the atheists and skeptics and liberals and all the rest got in there and destroyed the foundation of the gospel, you know. And what they're trying to say is the gospel is just silly. It's not to be taken for serious. Not supposed to take it seriously.
Right.
And I'm afraid they're dead wrong. And why do you think all this stuff's happening then? You know.
Right. Right, because like in those crowds that stormed into the White House, they weren't all Republicans. They weren't all Democrats. It was a mixture of people. There was people who were Christians or called themselves Christians. There were people who don't even go to church. They're just in there. You know what I'm saying? They're all marching for one mind, just like the Tower of Babel.
They're mad about these people. They don't want Biden in there, in that crowd, is what they're mad about.
Yeah, but so we sort to lawlessness? I mean, that's not the way to go. Not to overthrow the government. I don't think that's the way to go.
I think this, if you look at the whole picture overall, it's a judgment of God, any way you look at it.
Probably.
Because, you know, we're talking about anarchy here. We're talking about civil war.
Right, right.
So, I don't think America's going to survive this one. I think what we're going to end up with is a...
Antichrist?
Bunch of farms.
I told you that, didn't I? Yeah. A few years back. Antichrist? Here we come.
Yeah, America has to fall before the Antichrist could rise up. That's right.
We're falling,
and,
Jeff. Falling fast.
Yeah, it's happening a lot faster than we thought.
Well, it's been falling since Christ ascended up back to heaven.
Yeah.
So that's been over 2,000 years, right?
I don't think any country survives forever in this world. Yeah.
Yeah, we're falling fast.
It's been a mighty nation. It's been a good one. I love America.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. I think a lot of people loved America more than they loved God. I think they kind of got it mixed up.
That could have been.
You know?
Well, I can live without America, but I can't live without
God.
No,
there you go. He has to be the center.
But I still love America, though. I mean,
I'm sure.
It's my country, and it's just. It's been just. It's been right in a lot of things. It's been the world's policeman. And we're going to see, I think we're going to see some radical changes very soon. You know.
Oh, yeah. I think we are, too. And back to the verse of the scoffers. Where's that at?
I think that's in 2 Peter chapter 3.
Okay, in the last days there will be scoffers. So he's talking about scoffers in the church. They're even saying, well, he's not coming back soon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to get
the liberal church around for a long time.
Right. You know, they're even saying this is not going to happen anymore. You know, God is not going to do that. He's a loving God. He's not going to bring judgment upon America. What do they think we're living through right now?
Well, they think that, they're thinking in terms of like an atheist point of view, things just happen. You know, coincidence. Or it's just people's making bad decisions. Which, that does have a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened is we've gotten a majority of people who are wanting the liberal agenda. And they're voting for it. And they're pushing for it. And they're now, there's gotten to be a lot of them. And they're in the majority and can't stop them. Because there's too many of them.
Well, because you have to look at it like this. All this time, we've had two parties. Republicans, mm-hmm. We've had the Democrats. Everyone has had their own opinions, right?
But the Democrats used to be a lot different.
I know they do.
They used to be all in favor of poor people and all that. Now they're the elite.
Well, not as much. Not when it comes to money. But still, people, I can't even think of what they are.
I don't know. I'll tell you one thing that's disgusted me through the last parts of this is the media. attacking President Trump and being in favor of the liberal agenda and making up stuff and trying to impeach him and all that stuff and making up lies. And, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, the media is powerful.
Now, this is where we're going to disagree. Okay. Not maybe all the way, but we'll just, you know, be a borderline. Now, I don't think they really made up lies. I think that President Trump has never hid anything that he thought or was going to do or had intentions of doing. He'll tell you straight out, yeah, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Just like he said, well, the election, we'll never know who's going to be president. It'll be drawn out 5 or 6 months. Here we go. Election was in November the 3rd. He tells people what he's going to do. You just have to listen. Now, he don't want you to call him on what he said. So it's not all lies.
Not all lies, but no, mostly.
Not all lies. He's that type of guy. He's not ashamed. He's not fearful of what he has to say. He's just not. He hasn't hid anything from us.
Well, no, he doesn't like presidential protocol.
There you go. He hasn't hid anything from the American people. He just hasn't.
No, what I mean to say is the media has lied.
I don't think I've heard any.
Any lies from the media?
Not about Trump, no. I heard them say what he has said. And maybe people forget what he said. You know, you just have to have a keen ear, because he does, just like the election. What did he say about that election? It'll be 5 or 6 months down the road before we even know who president is. Now, who would have thought that? And here we go.
I didn't know who was going to be president until they elected who they wanted.
Right.
You know,
but still, they're still fighting against that. That's just not, from what I understand,
well,
it's not
solid.
Well,
you know, look how hard the Democrats fought when he got elected. You know, they were very, very sore losers.
Well, yeah, they were. And I know why. And I think you know why, too. Because he wasn't a Christian. He didn't profess to be one. He was a man of the world.
I mean, the Democrats
he had
were
been
sore
married.
Losers.
Yeah, well, we all have been.
Yeah.
The Republicans have been sore losers, too. It goes around. It's not just one party this or one party that.
Well,
it goes
I just
around.
Think the media has been very unfair, President Trump, and been very overcritical and crazy, like Pelosi saying that he was going to push the button, the nuclear
don't
button.
Don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Don't know what he's going to do after they stormed in the White House. So do you agree with that?
I can see why people are doing that kind of stuff, because they're trying to preserve the Constitution that we have.
But that's going against our Constitution. The violence.
Storming the Capitol.
Oh, yeah. Now, we all have, I
Not
hope that makes sense. Yeah, but you know, when it's black people and we're having protests or whatever, now, can you see the difference? We're not storming. We didn't storm the State House, White House, either one of them. We stay in the streets. We got shot with rubber bullets and tear gas, and you know,
well,
there was a big difference.
A lot of the law enforcement was in favor of Trump because he was in favor of them. You know,
and I think that goes both ways.
That's why.
Yeah, I think
but
it goes both ways.
I don't think that they were going to accomplish anything.
Well, I hope they don't accomplish anything this way either. Because
right now, I heard this thing on the radio that when Biden gets, you know, inaugurated, brought into his office, the government is really worried about riots and maybe even organized attacks.
Yeah, because they're not going to take that lying down. The people who stormed into the state building. They're not going to take that lying down.
They will
continue to fight.
That's right, for good now, because...
The chain has already been broken.
Yeah, and I think that it's very possible that when he gets inaugurated, that may begin the Civil War.
It just might.
Because they were talking about You know, a while back, and I remember talking about this. You remember me talking about Civil War in the United States before this was really even thought of? Okay. On one of the Veterans Days, I went to Ashley Furniture because they were handing out free sandwiches and food to veterans. And I went in there, and I was just starting to go in, and I've noticed that there's a whole bunch of these riot trucks that the government's handed out to cities. No call? Okay.
Spam.
And, you know, this big, giant, this big, heavily armored, they look like, they look like the armored trucks that banks use to move money, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what they look like, only it says police on it and all that.
Right, I've seen those.
All over it. And I looked inside of that thing, and man, I'll tell you, they got portals, and they got, you know, the floor is highly reinforced to keep, you know, in case they run over a mine or something.
Right,
or,
right.
Or whatever, and I said, the policeman is standing there. I don't know if he knew exactly why they had him, but I said, why, I keep seeing these riot trucks around, you know. I said, some people are claiming on the internet that the government is sweating it out, worried about a civil uprising in America, you know.
Yeah, and...
And the police are saying, yes, that's why they're distributing these.
But I do have to say this, Jeff. Trump is a man. He's just a man.
Yeah.
He is not God.
Yeah.
I am not willing to die for him.
Oh, darn it.
I'm just not. You don't mean that much to me. You know, I mean, I haven't seen no man yet that mean that much to
but
me.
But we've had millions die for the flag. That's what they're
saying. Not, I have no intention
it's
to
not
die
necessarily.
For the, oh, you're talking about our soldiers and stuff, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a little different.
Well, see, if we had all these soldiers out there dying,
no.
Like especially World War I, World War II, where people were defending our way of life, our freedom, our Constitution. These people, Biden and them, they want to tear it all down and destroy it.
Destroy what now? I'm sorry.
Our Constitution, our way of life, everything.
We've been living this way, Jeff, since the Constitution been written, haven't we?
We've been living in luxury since the Constitution was written.
I don't think they're going to change it.
Oh.
No, no.
What did you just read off of that paper?
No. Like I said, to me, that goes both ways. I can't accuse Democrats of doing that. I can't accuse just them. I can't accuse just Republicans. I think it's a mixture of people that have come together and they want their way this way or they want their way that way.
They want the Biden people... And I don't know how else you would explain it. The Biden people, the liberals, they don't want to fix America and make things better. They want to destroy it.
How?
By destroying the Constitution and bringing down...
How are they going to destroy the Constitution, though?
Go in there and tear it up.
No. I don't believe that. I don't. I've heard them. Very good. I've listened. I watch. I don't see them even messing with the Constitution of the United States.
They will.
But going in the state house and destroying it, I think that was more headed toward that way. At least it looked like it and it felt like it, that you're just going to demand that people do things your way. Now, God has given us free will. Am I right or wrong?
Yep.
And we're all supposed to be on the same playing field. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, but look at
but
the rest
of the world.
But it's
not for man to chastise man. It's not unless you've broken the law.
If you're going to destroy the United States, that's what you got to do is destroy the Constitution.
Well, I think they're working hard
down,
at it.
Then the Antichrist system will rise up.
Well, that's where we are.
We're getting there.
That's where
it's
we are.
It's happening a lot faster than I thought.
Hey, I tell you, like I told you at first, I mentioned Antichrist to you
yes.
3 years ago. And you said, what's going on? I remember you saying, I said, here comes the Antichrist. He will cause, what, small and great to worship
well,
him.
You know, yeah, that he causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that man might buy or sell, save you of the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name.
And those who are the most targeted people to be deceived?
Well, Christians, of course.
There you go.
But the world won't have no problem with the Antichrist. They'll go right along with his system.
But when you're saying that, when you say the Christians are going to be deceived, here we go.
Well, they're already deceived.
That's what I'm saying. There we go. We're going down this road.
And we also have the one world church to deal with, too. Both of those will be killing Christians. You know, if you don't follow their agenda, you're dead. After they come to full power.
Right, right.
Now, halfway through the tribulation, thank the Lord's going to destroy the one world church.
Then 3.5 years.
Yep. And then we'll just have to deal with the Antichrist. It's our job just to take a strong stand. We can't really fight the Antichrist. I mean, a lot of people think they're going to do that. They're going to pick up arms and fight Antichrist forces with guns and cannons and so on.
It's a spirit.
Right. Only God can destroy
and
him.
There will be a man that spirit will be in. It's going to, mm-hmm. like after the first 3.5 years, everything's supposed to be good. Read your Bibles, Christians. Mm-hmm. First 3.5 years supposed to be good. After that 3.5 years, Satan is supposed to enter that man.
And that's when
the last 3.5 years.
He starts destroying Christianity. He moves into the Temple of Solomon, claims to be God, and all that, and starts to do real destruction and real destruction of people's souls. That's when the wrath of God will come upon the world.
Well, we're getting judgments now, I do believe. I don't know if I'm the only one who believes that, but I think that plagues are on the world. Yeah, plagues are on the world. People trying to overthrow the government. We have civil unrest. Seems like the weather has settled down a little bit.
It's really the way things are happening. It's answering a lot of questions, though. For instance, you know, we would sit there and wonder, well, the United States is not mentioned here in Revelation. Where is it? You know.
The great whore, Babylon.
Nobody would ever really have thought that, though.
I know.
Because America was so strong back then.
I know. But yeah, the great whore of Babylon, that's supposed to be America. It is. I know you've heard that, haven't you? But I want to settle this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except through me. That's Jesus Christ talking. Mm-hmm. He is only truth. He's the only way to God in heaven. He is the only truth that exists. And he offers the only life worth living. Okay. Now that's John 14:6. Mm-hmm. Whoever is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30. In other words, neutrality is impossible. This simple fact confronted Sheldon Vanuken after he had carried on a lengthy correspondence about Christianity with the great Oxford professor C.S. Lewis. In the book, A Severe Mercy, Vanuken wrote that he came to the chilling realization that he could not go back. That is where we should be as Christians or professing Christians. We are supposed to be out here bringing people to Christ, are we not?
Yes.
Is that the Great Commission?
Yep.
How far have we fallen, Jeff?
I think people get caught up, like if they get inside a church, they get caught up in church activities, stuff like that. They think it's more important to make cake and, you know, baked beans and, you know, those are nice. I love those pot roasts. Be downstairs, oh man, some of those people can really cook. But you could just tell by their attitude, you know, you like go to a Bible study at their home and I don't know how many times I've been in this position. You know, you go visit some people and some people in these churches have a big buku money. And you're out there on a sort of a farm-like place, and get a big bonfire going and all that. And but they talk about their kids are in college, and you know, and they've got a couple of boats and a couple of ski-doos, and you know, they have the same attitude as the world. That we're here to accumulate things, you know.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's why I mentioned the, how much time we got?
We have 6 minutes.
That's why I mentioned the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was, is he was just kind of had fell into this same pit that we fall in today, you know, that the world and money and all that is really more important than God, but we don't really know that we believe that. And the rich ruler says, look at this, Jesus. I have kept your commandments all my life.
Mm-hmm.
1 through 10. He said, what else do I need to do to, you know, to get eternal life?
Right.
Now, either he was asking a rhetorical question, which doesn't require an answer, or he was bragging. He was saying, I've got all this stuff, you know, and everything. What else would I need?
Right.
Or he could have recognized inside of himself, you know, this is what I think really went on.
Mm-hmm.
Something missing.
Right.
In here.
Right. In your heart. Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me what it is that's missing.
Right.
So Jesus told him,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the one thing that's missing with you.
Me.
Exactly.
Sell all you have and follow me. Follow me.
Now, you know, that's very strange that he said that, because he didn't say that to everybody.
No. Well, everybody didn't have everything.
He said that to the rich young ruler, because the rich young ruler was...
He had everything.
He was blaspheming, really, is what he was doing.
Okay.
Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 1:10, if we say we have no sin, we make God out to be a liar, and the truth is not in us.
Right.
So... Nobody, you're lying if you say that you have no sin, you've never sinned all your life. And I've had people tell me this before.
Right.
You ever have somebody tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
I've never sinned.
Right, I've never done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of society we live in. It's very, very self-righteous. You know. Some of these countries which America is at conflict with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people, like in Iran and Iraq and places like that, you wouldn't really hear from them that much that they've never sinned. They just don't understand what Christ is all about. You know. They don't know what sin is, really. But so, the rich young ruler, I heard an atheist say, well, he's telling this rich young ruler that he needs to do some works. And that is not what Jesus was telling him. He was telling him, you need to go sell everything you've got, you know, pick up the money and give it to people, you know, give away your money, whatever, give everything away.
Right.
And come up and take your cross and follow me. See, since you've already prepared yourself, you know.
Right.
So a lot of people are not saved because they're not prepared to get saved. They never searched for truth once in their life.
They never lifted
their little finger to find out if there's any truth in this stuff about God.
Right. This is what this man is saying. He said, I had regarded Christianity as a sort of fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And I had neither accepted nor rejected Jesus, which a lot of people who call themselves Christians are in this same position right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're in limbo. They have not accepted or rejected. Since I had never, in fact, encountered him, now I had. The position was not merely a question of whether I was to accept the Messiah or not. It was a question of whether I was to accept him or reject him. My God, there was a gap behind me, too. Like you said, in their heart, there's a big gap there, right?
That's really why he was asking that question.
Right.
There's something missing.
Something was missing. Absolutely. Perhaps the leap to acceptance was a horrifying gamble, but what of the leap to rejection? Oh my, that's hell bound. If I were to reject, I would certainly face the haunting, terrible thought, perhaps it's true, and I have rejected my God. So that's where a lot of people are who say they're Christians.
I forget the guy's name. He was with Billy Graham for quite a while. And then he finally, he quit evangelizing because he couldn't reconcile the idea that Jesus was the only way. But what I'm going to say to him is, what are you going to do with the sin, man?
We're out of time.
Okay. That's
I'm
my
sorry, we're out of time. Thank you, Jeff, for coming. You have to come back again. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For the famous cookie man, Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play. I went to the chief. And George was just glad to know what to do. But Bobby just started dancing.
To legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
Madeline Murray O'Hare, the most hated woman in America, who took prayer out of public school. You know, we had a wonderful, wonderful odyssey there. I would wish it on anybody that I love. This was a fabulous thing that happened to me. 29 years, and imagine what happened during those times. And we talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody, and you know, I'll just never forget it. I'm glad it happened. I feel blessed.
You ever think of an epitaph?
Yeah, I have. A couple of them. One would be, here lies Billy Dunn's Danny. The other one, I think, might be good is the caller there.
To the First Lady of Stand-Up Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
But it was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm ugly image.
Well, baby, let me put it like this. I used to get so much revenue for playing witches. That's witches. As in Halloween. And darling, after I had that first beautiful facelift, I never again was offered a witch role.
Is that right?
Now that tells you a lot.
It definitely does.
And my social life improved.
The talk show pioneer, Sally Jesse Raphael.
All they wanted was shock value. And so they put in producers to do that kind of show, and I kept saying, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't, no, I won't. And I made a conscious decision to do what I didn't want to do because I needed the money. And I had various family members who were ill, and the bills were pretty high, and I